75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hi, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our show. Today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have John Burgess back with us. We've done a couple of shows of him about the Wingmakers, and we'll do another one today. Only this time, John is going to do the show, along with his wife, Darlene Burgess. So stay tuned for John and Darlene Burgess. I think you'll enjoy what you hear. In the background, this is some music from the Wingmakers. You know, the Wingmakers not only has music and a few other things which John and Darlene will get into, but they have poems, and this is one of my favorite Wingmaker poems. You can make up your own mind what the message is and what it's all about. I have my own ideas. Let's give it a listen. All I ever wanted to love was someone like you. Someone who looks at the river frozen and knows underneath the current remains. Someone who knows that when the sky is absent of color beneath the globe, another world comes to light. All I ever wanted was to love someone like you. Someone who can untangle my life in their golden light and steal my eyes, knowing I could never turn away. I could never turn away. Bowels of the earth in New Mexico, the treasures of the Wingmakers. We'll be back here in a moment with John and Darlene Burgess as they talk about the Wingmakers and what it's all about. But first of all, let's pause for these words. And then when we come back, it'll be John and Darlene's show today.
I'd like to talk to you for a moment, if I could, about the body's natural healing power. It comes from two sources: proper nutrition and the ability to create what it needs from within. The body must have a defense, because if it doesn't, then some type of disease will end up surfacing. There has been lots of research on glycoproteins. And as a result of this research, we now know that the body uses carbohydrates, and these carbohydrates help the cells communicate. By 1996, scientists identified 8 sugars involved in this communication process. We figured out that it really gets down to the fact that the sun, and only the sun, is able to capture these carbohydrates through the use of plants. And one of the interesting things we found out that these plants must vine ripe. So I'll tell you what you do. You just click on our website and go to that healthy food banner and click it on, and you'll find more information from Dr. Catherine Frisbee and others on how good nutrition can change your life.
Prince Anthony was the handsomest man in the entire kingdom.
Ma'am, am I handsome?
His fondest wish was to find a beautiful bride.
Of course, she doesn't have to be as stunning as me.
But Prince Anthony couldn't find one. Why? Well, because he never left the palace.
Being this pretty isn't easy.
He spent all day lifting weights and getting his back waxed. And trimming and grooming and tweezing and plucking.
Perfecting perfection.
Meanwhile, his less good-looking but far more charming brother Benji found a bride. So did his rather unattractive cousins and even his flat-out but ugly Uncle Stanley.
I don't understand it. I am way better looking than any of them.
Unfortunately, none of the women in the kingdom knew this because none of them had ever seen him.
But if they ever did.
But they didn't. So Prince Anthony spent his entire life all alone until he was old and toothless, bald and fat, saggy and rather flabby.
At least my back isn't very hairy.
You may have the best product or service in the world, but if nobody knows about it, you just have the best product or service in the world. It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
Internationally acclaimed private eye Joe Culligan has a new book or video that may answer these questions. How much alimony does he pay? How much child support does he pay? Did he really graduate from college? What assets does he own? Does his divorce file say he beat his wife? Is he all he claims to be? Has he ever been arrested? Does he have a history of drunken driving? And much, much more. Before you agree to marry anybody, before you take on a new business partner, before you begin any serious relationship, don't put yourself in danger. Order P.I. Joe Culligan's When in Doubt, Check Him Out. The book or video is just $19.95 plus postage, shipped anywhere you wish, to anyone you care about. We'll ship confidentially. To order by credit card, call now, 1-800-921-9898. That's 1-800-921-9898. Specify the book, the video, or both. Don't risk your business or your life. Call 1-800-921-9898 now.
Okay, as promised, let's turn the show over to John and Darlene Burgess.
Jerry Pippin!
Welcome to Wingmakers Internet Radio, where we focus on the writings, music, art, and philosophy of the Wingmakers. Your hosts are Darlene and John Burgess. Join us as we explore new dimensions of thinking, feeling, and living in the 21st century. Hello, everyone out there. I want to welcome all our listeners to our first Wingmakers Internet Radio show. I'm John Burgess.
And I'm Darlene Burgess.
And we're really happy to be here to do an experiment in Internet radio and offer you, our listeners, information in all sizes and shapes, so to speak, about Wingmakers and what it's trying to bring to humanity. The reason we wanted to do a Wingmakers radio show was to help ground the material and offer people a chance to give feedback about the material through emails to us, so that we can get a two-way discussion going about this very interesting and fascinating website called Wingmakers.com and its sister site, Lyricus.com. And I have a few notes here about the mission of the show. And I'll read them off for you. Number one was to facilitate people's understanding of the materials on the Wingmakers and Lyricus websites. Another reason is to build a sense of community and coherence among those interested in the materials. And we want to foster and encourage interest and research in the main topic and main mission of the Wingmakers themselves, which, as we understand it, is to help humanity discover the Grand Portal. The Grand Portal, of course, is a term that the Wingmakers and the Lyricus teachers use to describe the scientific discovery of the human soul and the multidimensional reality in which we all live. I think that's a pretty worthy goal for all of us, and it's certainly something very exciting. Granted, it will probably have a limited appeal to many, many people out there in the world, but we do know, just from the Wingmakers Forum, which is online, that there are thousands of Wingmaker aficionados, maybe we should call them, or enthusiasts all over the globe, and this is maybe a good way to get in touch with all of you out there through this show. Do you have anything you want to add to this, darling, these points? Well, maybe we should just give you a little background about who we are. Both of us have been interested in spiritual studies for many years. We've been students of meditation. We've studied many metaphysical and psychological topics. We've studied cosmology. We've self-published a couple of books. One of the books is called Sacred Vessel of the Mysteries, and another book is called Hidden Foundations of the Great Invocation. Both of these books we did completely on our own and financed ourselves and published ourselves.
John, wouldn't you say that in the process of doing the research on those books and the way in which you intuitive some of the information in those books led you to being able to recognize the importance of the Wingmakers material when you first saw it on the website?
Yes, I think that's probably true. That's a good insight. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but it's probably true. The books I wrote are about a world prayer that's coded with information, and it took a lot of reflection and deep insight and intuition on my own part to begin to recognize that and fathom it and work with it. And I think that really did help me recognize something important about the Wingmakers material when we first saw it. And we bought the first source disc and recognized something very important in this material.
But wouldn't you say that the internal journey that you took to uncover the many layers of encodement into that world prayer gave you the vision to be able to see the many layers and the encodement in the Wingmakers material?
Well, let's put it this way. I think there is a lot of coding in the material, and James himself has said that, and that's what this show is going to be about, and other shows, if we're able to do them, will be about discussing all that. And I would not sit here and say that I have personally found codes in this material.
Oh,
but
that's
I've
not
certainly,
what I was saying.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that for the audience, because we're not here to toot our own horns, that's
right,
for sure. But your remarks are well taken, and I think they're valid in that the whole essence of this is to develop our intuition. I think that's what Wingmakers is all about, because it leads to the soul.
What I was really saying, it gave you the tools. You then had a tool in which you were well aware of how encoded material looks like, feels like, and how you can get to the inner circle of that encodement material. And what I was saying is that not that you were able to discover the encoding of the Wingmakers, but now you had a tool in how to help you discover the relationships in the encoding that you might see or might be aware of, or begin to see the broader picture of the big picture that the Wingmakers material gave you.
No, I think that's true. I think that's very true. And I would include both of us in that, because you've certainly been here along the journey and done a lot yourself. And we, like I said earlier, we're both trained as meditators. We've done 10, 15 years of work in meditation at least, and more than that. And so I believe it prepared us at least to recognize something important about the Wingmakers material and the material on the Lyricus website, which is the sister site of the main Wingmakers site. Although in the future it may be that the Lyricus site becomes more important than the Wingmakers, but that's a topic for later on. So why don't we... So great, having said all that, I think the next point here is to explain to the audience that we are not professional broadcasters, and that may be evident to our audience already. We're a couple of amateurs here in this regard, but we're making the effort, and we're trying to do something that we feel will be in addition to the work that is being done by the Wingmakers themselves, and it's our contribution, for good or ill, the best we can to help the Wingmakers community communicate more easily with one another and to offer our own ideas on this whole wonderful topic. And that kind of gets into the next point here that I think is important to mention is what will the show include? You know, what will be the general format of the show? We intend to read the material and discuss it. Either that will be, part of a particular reading or a document or an entire document, let's say a Lyricus discourse. We might read a Lyricus discourse and discuss that on the air. Or we could just discuss a particular topic. We may have a discussion about the genetic mind or DNA or any of the other interesting topics that come up in Wingmakers. We intend to play some music. The Wingmakers music is really important.
Very important, because of the way in which it can relate to us on a universal scale, that anyone can on the globe can understand it, or because it is global. He's taken parts of all the different cultures.
He? Who's he?
Well, James, who creates these wonderful music, lays music on top of music, but mm-hmm. you can hear all the different instruments on the globe, and each kind of ethnic background that's on the culture is represented, so it's kind of global, so everyone can really relate to it if it resonates with them.
Yeah, as opposed to like the written material that has to be translated. And there's a lot of various people have contributed their time and energy to translate the materials, and those can be found on the Wingmakers site, right, on the downloads page, different languages that the material has been translated into. So that's a good point, though, about the music. It's a universal language.
As a universal language, then you don't have to wait for someone in another country with another language to translate it. Once the disc comes out, everybody can hear it and participate in the activity of it.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Very true. The other point, the next item, we'd like to, when it's appropriate, bring you news of the day, from different areas of science or culture, whatever, that pertains to the Wingmakers' mission, which is to guide humanity into the discovery of the soul, the new discoveries that have to do with consciousness, with psychology, with cosmology, with DNA, all those things that bear on that one goal of the Grand Portal. There are news items that appear from week to week or almost daily that can be brought up. We're certainly not going to be ambitious enough to or be able to bring you all those news items. But if there are ones we see or ones that are sent to us, and if they look like something interesting, we'll talk about them in one part of the show.
Well, you could use as an example the Lyricus Discourse 6, which talks about heart codes. And there's a book called The Heart Codes by Paul Pearsall. And as I was looking through the
Heart's Code, yeah.
as I was looking through the internet one day, I saw that in Cleveland, I believe it is, that they're starting a new clinic, and it will be a clinic that's based on studying the relationship between the code of the heart and the code of the brain. Instead of it being brain-heart, it's going to be what does the heart do to impact the brain. So that's exactly what Discourse 6 is talking about. So it's kind of really up-to-date, new information that's running right along with the discourse itself.
Very interesting. That's exactly what we're talking about when we talk about news. So that's a very good example of what we will try to do. And the last part of the show's format will include you out there. You're welcome to send email comments and questions to us at info@planetworkpress.com. info@planetworkpress.com.
When we get those, we'll answer them at the next show.
Yeah. We may not be able to answer every question. We don't even know if anyone will even send anything, or we don't even know if anyone out there is even listening to this, but we're here. We're going to be looking for your emails, and that'll be part of the group experiment here to see how this give and take back and forth goes, and we'll just see how it goes. That's all. I think it has some good potential. It could be a lot of fun. And I think there's always something to be learned both ways, as the audience shares with us and as we share with the audience.
Sounds like a brilliant idea.
Well, with that, why don't we take a short break, and we'll play a little bit of Wingmakers music. And by the way, all the music that we play here will be by the Wingmakers. We don't intend to be playing music by anyone else. This is a Wingmakers Lyricus broadcast, and therefore we will devote all the music to Wingmakers. So we'll be back in a second or two or a few minutes, depending on how much we enjoy listening to this music. Okay, we're back now from our break, and hope you enjoyed the music that we were playing. We certainly did. And it's time, darling, to get to the main topic of the show, which is really to introduce the Wingmakers materials and Lyricus materials to the audience. I mean, there are probably many people out there that are already familiar with it all, but I think it's for the sake of logic, if nothing else, and our own sanity, we need to at least try to describe these materials to our audience.
I think that since there is such a wide variety of them, it is important that we kind of give each of them an overview of what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree. We have a nice list here that Darlene had put together of all the main materials that are available. And I guess, first of all, I should just say that the material itself is really designed as a catalyst. The materials are there on the website, and they consist of a novel, and they consist of poetry and graphic images. There are paintings. There are music samples to listen to on the website, and then you can order those music CDs. There's a DVD that's been prepared that's quite nice. There are philosophy papers and poetry. What did I forget? That's the general gist. And all those materials that are designed to stimulate and inspire us to begin to expand our vision of the world we live in and what the universe is all about. You know, is the reality around us simply our five senses and, you know, we're born, we live, we die, and that's the end of it? I know that the vast majority of our audience probably does not believe that. In fact, I don't think most rational people in the world really believe that we're just born, we live, and die, and that's the end. And I think that's the point, is that the Wingmakers are here to tell us that you know instinctively, right, that there's a lot more to life than just that. You know that in your heart and in your brain, and we're here now to give you catalytic tools to kind of lift you up, to spark you, to discover the science behind what has always been in the past is simply beliefs, you know, religions.
Yeah, in the past we've done it by intuition, or we feel we know that this is true, but we never had any hard scientists to believe that it's true. Mm-hmm. And what this shows us, that in the future there will be hard scientists, scientific proof that says this is what the future is, this is a soul, we do have multidimensionality.
Yeah, that is exactly where I think it's supposed to go and where it is going. And there are people out there, scientists doing this kind of research. We may not hear a lot about them because the mainstream or the world establishment, the power structure out there, does not support those types of fringe pioneering type of efforts. And so, therefore, the real pioneers are often the people that are quietly working, tinkering around in their garages or basements, or writing articles, or have theories about these things. And they're, you know, it takes a lot of effort to get them presented and become more acceptable. But we'll eventually be getting into all those kinds of topics. But that, in a nutshell, is basically what the Wingmakers and Lyricus materials are about. So, why don't we get into the list a little bit here and talk about that?
I think first thing we have to talk about is the novel.
Okay. And what's the name of that?
The novel is called The Ancient Arrow.
The Ancient Arrow Project.
And
novel.
This is a novel and which has kind of a mythical foundation to it. It's written as myth and kind of a science fiction at the same time, so it's kind of a mixture of science fiction and myth, and we all like science fiction, we all love myths, because we have myths going back into our ancient belief systems.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing they say about myth is every myth has a truth buried in it, and stories are built around nuggets of truth, and therefore they're able to present in a, say, let's just face it, an entertaining way, something that engages one's attention, might make you feel good or gets your emotions going. It draws you into a story. And the story itself, though, contains universal principles, perhaps, or great truths that may not be obvious at first. And all the great modern stories have contained that. And that's the whole basis of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. All those kinds of stories really contained the fundamentals about good and evil and human nature and the struggle to overcome adversity and to be, you know, to be the hero. You know, not that we want to be a hero, but you become a hero by simply learning how to overcome adversity in life.
Are you really saying that each of us then is on a journey to find the hero within ourselves as we overcome everyday life?
Well, let's put it this way, that a lot of us who have beliefs that are a bit on the edge compared to what many in the mainstream believe in, yes, I think we are in that category, so to speak. Even if it's in our own tiny little life, not too many people know about us, but our families, but we may represent that microcosmic hero, you know, struggling against the tides of the general belief systems of the world to say, you know, I think it's a little bit different than what you're saying. I think it's a whole lot different than the reality that's being presented. And that's what makes the Ancient Arrow Project novel very interesting. It's the story in general of the hero, the head of the story, Dr. Jamison Neruda.
Is taking his hero's journey.
Yeah, and he, you know, he works with a super secret government agency, the ACIO, the Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization. And he's a specialist, a scholar in ancient languages, and he's also a genius at cryptography. And
would that be encoding?
That's all about codes, yeah. And so that's kind of curious in itself, that the Wingmaker's material contains codes, and Dr. Neruda is an expert in codes, and an expert in ancient languages. And
but doesn't this take place in New Mexico with an ancient site?
Yeah. Well, the ACIO is headquartered, I believe, in the story in California. Mm. But some college students find a strange stone in the desert in New Mexico near Chaco Canyon. And one thing leads to another, and the stone ends up in the possession of the ACIO. And they find out that the symbols on the stone are symbolic of a location, I believe, and that this is a homing device. And one thing leads to another, and a team is sent out there headed by Dr. Neruda to Chaco Canyon. And they do find this device becomes activated, and they discover this cavern. And this cavern looks like it's been artificially created, and it's in the form of a spiral. And a spiral passageway, and they travel this passageway, and they find these small chambers, and inside each chamber is a painting that's like it's a piece of art hanging on the wall or attached to the wall of these chambers. And in each chamber also is found a strange object that looks like it's an artifact of some sort. But the story does not go into a lot of detail as yet, but these other artifacts, you have the painting that seems to be linked to art, and the other seems to be linked to technology. So those two items are found in each chamber. And then what happens? They get to the 23rd chamber at the very top.
And they find that there's a little...
There's a...
Mystery.
Yeah, there's a mystery there. There's a painting there, but instead of these sort of common-looking crystal-like objects that they think are technological artifacts, they find what looks like a CD or a laser disc, an optical disc. And that eventually gets decoded in their supercomputers back at their labs. And from that optical disc comes the music of the Wingmakers, the philosophy of the Wingmakers, the graphical images, mathematical formulas.
Poetry.
And poetry all are on this disc. And the disc, I believe in the story, it's about over 8,000 pages of data are translated by their computers about this. And the story is just fascinating because at a certain point, Dr. Neruda feels he gets a message from the Wingmakers themselves through this disc, and they communicate to him that they have left six other sites in the world, that the site in New Mexico they created, and there are six other sites around the world that he needs to discover. And his discovery and unlocking of the secrets of these seven sites will expand and uplift the consciousness of humanity, and ultimately will save us from a group of aliens that are coming to our planet that
are going to try to take us.
That may not have our best interests in mind. Right, exactly. And that group, they are called the Animus. And of course, the story has various subplots in it. The main subplot is that the head of the ACIO is a gentleman named 15. And he is a genius.
What does 15 stand for?
That's his security code. There are security levels in this group, and they go up to 15. And 15 is the only one with that level, and so he's called 15. And his, like, advisory group, I think their levels are like 13, 14, or something to that effect. But, you know, the detail there is... not so important at this point, but that's part of the story. And people who haven't read that story should definitely get the first source CD and read it. You can download part of the story right directly from the website, but that is only half of the information you'll get on the version that's on the CD. And to make it a little more complicated, so just pay attention, even the information you get on the CD is only about 25% of the entire novel. The entire Wingmakers novel, The Ancient Arrow Project, has not been published yet. Only one quarter of it has been. So in effect, I guess to get past that part, if you download it off the website, you're getting about 12.5%. And if you buy the CD, you'll get the first 25% of the novel.
Right. I think they've used an interesting technique in the website in that not only do you have the novel that is part of the whole story or a foundation of the story, Dr. Neruda then gives a set of interviews to a reporter. In this day and age, we know how important information is given to a reporter and how that can be put out on the internet or on the news or however. So this is a new way in which to expand the information that you want and not have it directly in the novel.
Exactly. I think it was just an ingenious idea. The Neruda interviews, as they're called, are all available on the website for download. And they're just fascinating. They run about 40 to 50 some pages each.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you've got about 200 pages of fascinating information. And to give the readers, I'm so used to writing, I'm saying readers, but to give the listeners a little bit of general idea on this, Dr. Neruda feels that he has to defect from the ACIO, so he defects. And in order to protect the story and everything he knows, he enlists the aid of this journalist named Sarah. And he gives her, there are five interviews. Only four have been published to date. And so we've been waiting for this fifth interview for a couple of years now. I think it's been almost about going on 2 years.
November of 2002 was the third interview. Fourth interview.
So it's going to be two years very soon.
Next month.
Yeah, that we've been waiting for this fifth interview. And they range through many different topics. There are information there about the aliens that the ACIO works with. They worked with the Greys from the Zeta Reticulum. They work with a group called the Cordium. and the Quartium are much closer to humanity in terms of affinity. And the ACIO doesn't work with the Greys very much at all. That was early on, but they are mentioned. There's this whole topic of blank slate technology, which is the pet project of 15. I don't think we got to that when we were talking about the novel. But blank slate technology is the highest form of time travel known in the universe. And the Quartium, who are from another galaxy, have told 15 that information. He is a genius who has always been fascinated with time travel. And when he became head of the ACIO and was introduced to the Quartium, who were already part of the secret government pact with them, they informed him that this form of time travel was the most advanced. So they have basically put their minds together, the Quartium and the humans in this project, to find the answer to the time travel. And time travel will not just be able to go into the past or the future in order to observe it, but to actually go there and change it with the bare minimum of effects on and repercussions
of the event.
In the real world, back in the time that it's happening. It's a little difficult to explain for sure, but I think people get the idea. Some other topics in these interviews have to do with UFOs and politics, secret organizations, something called LERM. What was that called? Do you remember? The light encoded. The light. I think it's light emitting reality matrix.
That's right. And almost seems like the Matrix.
Yeah, it's a. Well, maybe. Yeah, it's. But it's made up of light filaments that can be that the members of the ACIO, really the Labyrinth Group, which, by the way, the Labyrinth Group is another secret organization that 15 created inside the ACIO. And the ACIO doesn't even know that the Labyrinth Group exists. And I guess to finish that topic off, the ACIO is part of the National Security Agency, the NSA, and that's unacknowledged. So the NSA will never acknowledge ACIO exists. So all these things are embedded in the story. So in a way, the story and the interviews contain truth, but also things that are maybe not true in the sense that they've been embellished, they've been enhanced to make the story more interesting, but there are many things in the story that are true. Is there really a Dr. Neruda? People have asked us that at workshops. And Dr. Neruda is a character that's been created for the story. All these people in the story are characters created for the story, but there may very likely be people who
part of their story make up that story.
They are composites. There are real people who... So there are Neruda-like scientists. There are 15-like heads of organizations who are unacknowledged, and you'd never know who they were. So the characters represent composite figures in the real world, and that's where the real part of the story interfaces with the fictionalized part of the story. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things that the interviews talk about. They talk about the music and the paintings and the poetry, because Dr. Neruda, the journalist, is asking him, right?
She's saying... Oh, yeah. She wants to know all the questions. What is this whole project about? What do you mean paintings? And what do you mean about...
This cavern. Who are these wing makers?
Yeah. And what about this DNA? And what does that have to do with the whole thing and these pictures? And how does poetry fit into this? And what is the culture? You're talking about a cultural thing, and what's culture in this regard?
So these interviews, as Darlene is showing you, that they are fascinating because the journalist is not an expert in any one field. She's just a regular general type of reporter who he found because he wanted a regular person who was competent as a reporter, but he didn't want somebody who was a science reporter, somebody like that, because they would have too many technical questions and they would probably be prejudiced against many of the things that he needed to explain. And why was it that he wanted to get this out?
because he felt that if this got out into the public domain and the public understood it and heard about it, that his life would be safe from being wiped out by the ACIO.
Yeah, they wanted. They had this MRP. What is that called? A memory restructure procedure in the ACIO. And what
means that they could put you on a table and wipe out your memory, and you would not remember what you knew.
That's right.
But they would only go in, and it would only take out that particular part of the memory. They wouldn't destroy everything. It's just that you would no longer. He would no longer know about the Ancient Arrow Project, and he didn't want to lose his memory about the Wingmakers.
Yes, because they had such an impact on him, the information they gave him. He just knew that it was true and knew that, you know, this was what humanity really needed. So that gives you some idea of the interviews.
I'd like to say something about the fourth interview, though, John.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You have to really understand that the fourth interview came out in November of 2002. And one of the things that really piqued our curiosity was it said that there would be a worldwide oil crisis in that interview.
Yeah, it was a possibility. It was brought up, right, as a possibility.
As a way to unite humanity with a common problem. And as you and I have looked at the news lately, what we always keep seeing is there's something called peak oil, and we now have oil prices at the top of the list, and it's
$54 a barrel right now, something of that effect.
Where it was 27 or less than that. And so now we really are seeing a buildup of a crisis with oil. Whereas that interview kind of foreshadowed the myth of the interview kind of foreshadowed the truth of today.
That's right. That's very true. Yeah. And I don't think it did not say that was right around the corner necessarily,
didn't
but maybe
in
about 20 years or yeah. we don't. But it was just an example of how. What type of a crisis would it take to
bring humanity together,
that eventually we're going to be forced either by something good or by something bad to work together. Unfortunately, it's usually some kind of a bad crisis that brings people together. And so I think the whole point is the fourth interview gets down to the real nitty-gritty of the situation humanity is in today and the hope that it offers for the future in terms of discovery of the soul and these other dimensions of reality that are really going to change the entire playing field in the domains of religion, especially government and our culture, our social.
And science.
And science, of course, science will lead the way, though, eventually, because these will be scientifically proven experiments that are going to begin to shift the whole worldview of the scientific community into a new area.
Okay.
So, as probably you all out there can hear the way we're talking about these interviews, we find them very exciting and very intriguing, a whole other dimension to the novel itself. Which really, that brings us up to the next thing on our list, that there's a lot of philosophy in the Wingmakers material. There are four philosophy papers that have been written, and they average anywhere from 11 to 18 pages, something in that. But I'll have to tell you, those 11 to 18 pages in each one are just packed with pretty heavy information. This is not fluff.
This is not light reading.
It's not light reading. It's not just fluff and words that are repeated just to make you give you a feel-good sensation and send you on your way. They're really designed to make you think. And we've read these philosophy papers 5-6 times together in our local group that we have here in our community, and we've studied them a little bit in our workshop environment when we've had a chance. But I'll just read off the titles of these. We're not going to go into detail on that today, but just to give you an idea. The first one is called Life Principles of the Sovereign Integral. Number two is Shifting Models of Existence. The third one is a blueprint for exploration. And number four, beliefs and their energy systems. And the fourth one is the first one in which a few specific exercises were given that people could perform on their own that relate the paintings, the poetry, and the music as devices or tools, resources, for getting in touch with the deeper levels of your own self.
Use them as activation tools to getting into the beginning of the journey, of the inner journey to the self.
Yes. Later, if we get to the Lyricus materials on one of those papers, they're called activation resources, and that's what these are in the fourth philosophy paper, one of which involves the paintings, working with four of the paintings.
Right.
You have to look at the symbols in the painting, and there's a whole exercise for the symbols involved. It's painting number 2, 3, 12, and 4. They have to do with time.
New dimensions in time.
New dimensions in time. Space.
New dimensions in space.
That's number 3. Energy is 12.
New dimensions in energy.
And matter.
New dimensions in matter.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes you out of...
That's number four.
Right.
Fourth
it takes
one.
You out of the idea of what we think of these as now. How can you think of them in a new form, and what do these, do the pictures kind of represent in that idea?
Yes, exactly. It's exactly. And it, the paintings themselves are just absolutely fascinating. I guess we could talk about the paintings right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, there are 24 chamber paintings,
right,
altogether, and there are 10
portal
paintings that are quite fascinating, and they seem to be they are like what I call like a master painting. We've done some research and found that many of the symbols found in the 10 portal paintings are transferred or found in the 24 chamber paintings.
Right.
And we've identified something like, I think it was about 66 unique symbols that are contained in the portal paintings that are then found in the 24 chamber paintings.
And you won't find the portal paintings on the website. They're only on the CD-ROM. So if you go to the website and look for the portal paintings, they're not there. They're only on the CD-ROM. What I found fascinating about them is that there are some pictures that really just resonate with you, and some it takes time to get used to. And the 24 paintings kind of represent the 24 DNA of one's DNA. So it has a relationship between our DNA and the paintings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're filled with symbols that are definitely accessible in terms of interpretation.
It
isn't that they're so cryptic you
right.
can't understand them, but they're also, they're like Zen koans. They're like also on the edge of your ability to access. They seem to be on the edge of the conscious mind. And they sort of fall over that ledge a little, or at least lead you over the edge into a deeper part of the mind or consciousness. So they are designed as tools, as the same way with the poetry, to pull you beyond who you are to who you really are. You know, maybe it's a good way to put it.
Right. And I think the other thing is that you look at them, and one time you'll see something, and the next time you look at them, and you'll see something else. And it's kind of like an ongoing understanding of what the painting represents to you, to your
yes.
inner self. It doesn't necessarily mean what it means to anybody else, but what does it mean to you? It's kind of individual in that respect.
Excellent point. Well, why don't we just take another little break here, and then we'll come back and go through the rest of the material. We'll be right back.
Thank you, John and Darlene Burgess, for an interesting program about the Wingmakers. Now, we have another full hour of this program in which they continue their discussions and demonstrations about the Wingmakers that we'll feature later this week. John and Darlene Burgess did a fantastic job, and John's been dedicated to the Wingmakers for some time, as you know if you've listened to the show. Well, with the music from the Wingmakers in the background, I thought we would close out the program. I'd like to thank Larry Dickin, our executive producer, and he did the production editing today. How about that? Times are tough when the executives have to do the work, huh, Larry? Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening to the UFO Files. Cheers.